The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you,
Lord. While they were all amazed at Jesus' every deed, he said to his disciples, "Pay attention to what I am telling you. The Son of Man is going to be handed over to men." But they did not understand what he was saying. Its meaning was hidden from them, so that they should not understand it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. The Gospel of the Lord. Both readings today have a kind of a sobering message for us, and that is that in effect that this world in which we live will have its difficulties and its sufferings. Now, we kind of live in a time where we really, I think, more than people who lived before us, kind of resent that. You know, we should just be able to take a pill and get rid of something. You know, if I'm depressed, you know, give me some psychotropic drug. You know, if I have a headache, give me some, you know, aspirin. Whatever it might be. But we think that, my gosh, suffering amounts to a failure of something, a failure of the system to somehow make me feel better. And frankly, some people are so resentful that they try to sue, you know, when they suffer. You know, not to be able to sue somebody or get back at somebody. But you know, this world is not an easy place, and at some level we just have to accept that this life is difficult. It's you know, when you think of some of the older prayers that we say, I think our forebears sort of had a better sense of this than many of us who live in the modern age. You know, listen to, like, you know, for example, the Hail Holy Queen. It says, "Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor, banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning, weeping, in this valley of tears." And so on the prayer goes. And other prayers like it, that just accepted that this world in which we live is not home, it's not paradise, and we long to be with God one day. This is pretty much the normal situation up until about the last 50 years, when we developed a lot of comfort. I mean, we live very comfortably, and any little thing makes us feel like, oh God, you've forgotten me. You know, my car battery went dead. God, you've forgotten me. Well, you know, you have a car? I mean, imagine people 100 years ago thinking, you know, having a car. I mean, they had to just walk, you know. So you see what I'm saying? We sort of have come to sort of expect that life should be comfortable. Now, I don't mean all of us in the room, you see what I'm saying, but we collectively, you see. Now, with that in mind, these readings both speak to us of the vicissitudes and the difficulties of life. You know, they're really riding high. Man, Jesus is popular, and he's working miracles, and we're on the winning team, and man, he's the Messiah, and he's about to lead an army, and we're going to kick those Romans out, and we're moving into the palace. I'm going to be prime minister, and I'm going to be secretary of state. You know, in other words, this is their thinking, right? They're thinking that this guy Jesus has got it going on, and we are on the inner circle, man. How lucky can I be? And Jesus says, pay attention. I'm about to be handed over to men. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed. See? I'll rise on the third day, but your faith is going to be tested. See, you're riding high now, but realize that this world has its vicissitudes. It has its sudden turns. And that's just the nature of life here. See? And, you know, it's not like we're supposed to go through life always waiting for the other shoe to drop. We should be able to enjoy the blessings of life, but we always have to remember that this life is ultimately going to have its pains and its difficulties. It's just because we're not home. We're living out of a suitcase, you know. It's just not as comfortable as being in heaven. And but again, you see, the Lord is trying to remind them and to keep them focused, that as much as you enjoy this right now, I want you to remember, keep it all in balance. And when you're really sitting sorrowful, remember the joys, you see. And don't lose your faith, you see. Remember the miracles I've worked, and have faith and trust in me. Remember, he took them up Mount Tabor to show them his glory, so that when he would hand it over, they could kind of balance it all out. But, you see, this is what the Lord is about. Now, the first reading has another very similar theme, which is basically, well, enjoy life when you're younger, because you're going to get older and life isn't very pleasant. And remember, they didn't have the kind of medicine and things that we do to sort of stave off the effects of old age, you know. You know, in these days, you know, your knee goes bad, they give you knee replacement surgery. In the old days, they just handed you a crutch and said, too bad, your tennis playing days are over, you know. I mean, you know, you just got to rough it, you know, and that was the old days. Now, you may be familiar with five hard truths that'll set you free, right? And the five hard truths are basically this. Life is hard, right? And your life is not about you. You're not that important. You're not in control, and you're going to die. Now, it sounds awful, doesn't it, right? But they're very interesting, the way that these truths can really, they're sobering, but if we can learn to accept them a bit, they're freeing. We don't get so anxious and bent out of shape when everything isn't happy and pleasant all the time. You say, well, why? And, you know, well, because we're in a foreign land and we don't speak the language very well, and we're living out of a suitcase, and life is not pleasant. I mean, I'm not saying it's always terrible, but we just come to accept that, again, life is hard, or at least it can be, right? My life is not all about me and what I want. I'm not the center of the whole universe. I'm not that important, right? I'm not in control, and I'm going to die. It's very... My father had a bad morning. But actually, these truths are very freeing, right? They're very freeing. So that when we come along, you know, Jesus said, I've told all these things to you beforehand, so that when it comes, you know, you may not lose heart. You know, he prepared them for his passion. Now, they still lost heart, most of them, except for John and Mary and a few of the others. So we see that, now, with that in mind, this is a very beautiful and poignant description of old age. I don't know if you've ever really taken time to study it. It's such a beautiful, beautiful work of art, of a description of old age. And it's just beautifully poetic. Now, it starts out again. Remember, it says, rejoice, young man, while you're still young. Let your heart be glad in the days of your youth. You know, and again, follow your visions, and you know, live your life to the top. Live it fully. See, that's the idea. Remember all this, and stay rooted in God. Enjoy the good life that you have, because the days are coming. And the years approach when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And try to remember, they didn't have all the medical stuff we do today. It says here, now, the years approach which you will say, I take no pleasure in them. And notice it says here, before the sun is darkened, and the light, and the moon, and the stars, and the clouds return after the rain. Which is simply to say, eyesight is going bad. You know, isn't it great we have these things in these glasses today? I mean, I take these off, and man, they're nothing but a blur. I see lots of blue dots right now, you know. Put these on, and there you are. Hey, you know, they didn't have that kind of stuff. When your eyes went bad, they just kind of went bad. And so again, back, you know, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, that's just put up with it. Now, they didn't do a lot of reading like we do, but in the end, you see what I'm saying? It says here, the sun is darkened, you know, maybe in cataracts, huh? The light of the moon and the stars, you know, they can't see them anymore. It's all cloudy and milky and becoming dark. Maybe there's some glaucoma or some other, you know, problems of the eyes. You see that we today, you know, we just get medicine or laser treatments and we're done with it, see? And the clouds return after the rain. Again, cataracts, right? It says, the guardians of the house tremble. Strong men are bent. You know, I don't know about you, but I go to the nursing home and I'm amazed when I look at these folks. These are people who raised families. They ran businesses. They were community leaders, pillars in their church community. Now they're in wheelchairs and they're trembling and they can barely stand, and some of them clutch babies and they're almost back to being infants again. They wear diapers. And remarkable reversal, isn't it? See? And yet look at how life changes, you see. And again, there's a kind of a poignant beauty about it almost, though, because the Lord says, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never be able to receive the kingdom. So it's not all bad, but we just have a kind of a sobering understanding that these were once the great leaders. And now, see, it says here again, as the text says, the guardians of the house now tremble. The ones who I depended on, my parents and my grandparents who went to be, now they tremble. Strong men are bent. I remember as my father lay dying, this was a man I thought walked on water. This was the man who I depended on for everything as a little boy, and now he's lying, dying in the bed. You see, trembling. This is a very poignant and beautiful poetry in a very painful kind of a way. It says the grinders are idle because they're few. It says here now, those who look through the windows grow blind. You know, have you ever seen how some my grandmother, she lived with us almost to the day she died, she would just stare out the window as she grew older. Just looking out the window. She couldn't see well enough to really read. She loved to read in the old days. But now, she had trouble. She tried to pray the rosary, but her mind had grown weak, and she couldn't even concentrate to get through that. And so Nana, we called her, would just kind of sit there all day and look out the window, kind of wonder and dwell on some of her memories of the past. She, as I say, I don't want to make it sound depressing, but this was just where she was in her life at that time. She felt content. She loved God. But she was always saying, I'm not sure why I'm still here. I think I'm done now, and I wish God would call me. But there she stood, looking out the windows. The doors of the street are shut. Older folks can't come and go like they used to. Just the sound of the mill is low. They're growing deaf. They can't hear the mill in the distance anymore. One waits for the chirp of a bird, but all the daughters of song are suppressed. Deafness. You can only hear the birds in the morning. One fears heights and perils in the street. When we're young, we just walk around. We hardly even think about a flight of stairs. And as we get older, oh my gosh, a flight of stairs. Oh my gosh, I got to step up over this curb. Oh my gosh, So again, the real struggle that old age brings. It says the almond tree blooms. That's gray hair. Almond trees have white flowers. So the almond tree is blooming. It says the locust grows sluggish and the caper berries without effect. Some of the locust berry and the fruits and things they would eat had various different effects. Some say that the caper berry was to help digestion. And others say no, it was an aphrodisiac. Whatever it was, it no longer has the effect. And it finally says, a man then finally goes to his lasting home, and the mortars go about the streets. The silver cord is snapped, the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and a broken pulley falls into the well, and the dust returns to the earth from which it once was, and the life breath returns to God who gave it. Death comes. We've all accompanied people we love. We've seen them through these stages. Some of us before long will be getting there ourselves. It's a very moving description of old age and death. It's not to be done with depression, and although it does set his final line, vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. Well, I don't think Coelho has understood eternal life like we do, but in the end, you see, this world is ultimately empty and vain, because it's not really, it amounts to nothing in the end. Unless we know God. So it is, but you see the beautiful poignancy of this. And so these five hard truths that I mentioned and Jesus being kind of sobering them up a little bit, all of this is just to help us to kind of keep perspective, as wonderful and as pleasant as this world could be, and that we should enjoy it. We need to always remember it's passing away. It's not about here. This is not what we're being prepared for. This is what we're being prepared for is yet still to come. So we simply thank God and we ask Him to give us a kind of a sobriety, Not a depression. That's no good. We don't want that. But a sobriety that keeps things in proper balance. So it is. I hope all of you are riding high today. I hope this is a good day for you. But we all know that in our lives come difficult days, painful days, some fearful days as well. But when we have those kind of days, we remember that the sun also returns. And trouble don't last always. We keep everything in proper balance. And we trust God leads us through mountaintops, but also through deep valleys. And this is our life here. Life is hard. It's not about me. I'm not so important that everything has to revolve around me. I'm not in control. And one day,